All right, welcome to the Big Guns Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Commissioner Jay. Welcome you back to some great football. And this season has been interesting, to say the least. And I think when we look at each game that's played, the narrative that is being created, the storyline that's unfolding, is really uncanny. Games that are rough games to watch, like the Seattle Seahawks at the Washington football team, somehow, some way, in the closing minutes have an interesting narrative, and the storyline changes almost to go into overtime, and there's reviews and all kinds of different things that are happening to make the game seem interesting. And there's always that Vegas touch, which I think is interesting as well, because again, Vegas wouldn't make the money that it makes if it didn't have some kind of influence on the score. I think that's why a lot of these teams have microphone headsets in their helmets in order to do certain things. Because, again, you question what happens when a quarterback does something so uncharacteristic or a running back runs out of bounds when there's really no reason for him to do that. And it's allowing another team to come into the fold, get some extra points, and make it interesting. So, you know, I have said this before, and I will say it again. I think that there is a little bit of a conspiracy going on in the National Football League, and what I find interesting is the fact that I say interesting so much. But I talked to a couple other owners, and I said to them, what is your thoughts on how the season, is it fixed? And one owner said to me, you know, I think that some of the games are influenced, but just not all of them. I think the games that matter most. And I think you see, you know, 13.5-point spreads that Vegas, you know, people are like, this team is going to blow this team out. And all of a sudden, you know, you see the Houston Texans win a game that they shouldn't. Or the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Buffalo Bills in a game that they shouldn't. And again, everybody wants you to bet in such a way so that you go in that direction. And then, again, Vegas wins big. So something for you guys to watch. When you see a player, a running back, a wide receiver, a quarterback do something so uncharacteristic, there's no reason whatsoever that they should be doing that. Ask yourself the question, is it influenced by Vegas? And I think that's part of it, but that's just me. So, big games this week. And, you know, again, the Bills beat the Saints as well as they should have. The Saints are decimated with injuries from quarterbacks to running backs to wide receivers. Oh, my. This team has got problems. And the Bills did what they had to do. They took care of business. But moving on toward this week, they have to play the Patriots at home on Monday night. And it's going to be a raucous crowd for sure. And the Bills have got to bring their A game. The Patriots have a half a game up in the division right now. And this is a must-win game, more so for the Bills than for the Patriots. I think if you ask somebody if the Patriots were going to be in this situation, there are some people out there, I have to admit, that said that they would possibly win the division. And I said they were insane. And now I'm basically kind of eating my words, and I don't like to do that because there's no reason the Patriots should be. But I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that's why they play the game. They suit up, and they get involved because, again, the NFL is an interesting place to be. How are the Patriots winning? That's a question a lot of people are asking right now. Mac Jones really not putting up tremendous fantasy numbers on a consistent week. This week he threw over 300 yards, really convincing win against the Titans, who are also decimated. Julio Jones, A.J. Brown out, King Henry out, not a good tight end, and then there's some hits on defense as well. So again, the Patriots should have won that game, and they did. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Buffalo Bills will play up against this team. Because, again, I look at Mac Jones being a game manager, something Bill Belichick likes a lot. Tom Brady was never a fantasy guy, if you remember. I think only coming now into the last couple years, Tom Brady's numbers have accelerated. I think because the game has changed and it's allowing him not to be hit and, you know, make some certain decisions. It's a passing league and it benefits players like Tom Brady immensely. So you're seeing that. But Mac Jones can put up 128 yards and a touchdown and they could win handily, and they have been. It's a total team effort. And what I've said before about the New England Patriots is that the Patriots and Bill Belichick are a situational football team. What do I mean by that? Well, if you look at where Belichick is, he's going to know where your deficits are. He's going to know that no play Trey White is out for the year. So believe me, if it's Dane Jackson, if they move around the defense, he is going to focus his attention to that side of the field, make no mistake about it. He knows the run defense in the middle, interior line, has been weak. Whether that changes if Tremaine Edmonds comes back will be yet to be seen. But again, Damian Harris and Brandon Bolden have played very well. Hunter Henry, Jonas Smith, very well. And at the beginning of the season, the Patriots kind of using their identity, not really knowing what to do. And they know the two tight end system. Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski mastered it. And Bill Belichick was the coach at the time. And I really think he wants to get back to that. Defensively, the Patriots have done their job and done well. And it's going to be a hard time for Josh Allen if that offensive line that has been so suspect, if it can hold up against this defensive front. Because again, there's some sacks coming and the Buffalo Bills have to figure that out. So Josh Allen is going to have to change his game a little bit and maybe stay off that line and really understand the pressure that's out there in order to play this game. He's got to be able to throw underneath to Cole Beasley. He's got to be able to find Stephon Diggs. The run game, whoever is lined up, whether it be Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, or Matt Breida, it has to be a 2-3-prong attack. It can't just be Josh Allen. It cannot just be him doing design quarterback runs. Because again, eventually, that quarterback's going to get hurt. Because if I'm a defensive coordinator and I see Josh Allen in the secondary, I'm telling my guys to hammer him badly. And again, we don't want to see anybody get injured, so we'll see how Emmanuel Sanders plays, how Dawson Knox plays. And again, Dawson Knox showing flashes of brilliance. Again, does he have stone hands? Does he not have stone hands? Josh Allen and Dawson Knox are great friends. That helps. It's like Brady and Gronk. And if you can see that kind of evolution where that happens, wow, good things will happen. That dynamic of Dawson Knox getting touchdowns is just icing on the cake. When you've got Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and Emmanuel Sanders, Dawson Knox is just a little bit of extra. He's the chef's kiss. And that's where this team needs to be. But they can't just throw the ball. They've got to run the ball as well. And are they a 70-30 team when it comes to pass versus run? Absolutely. Defensively, again, they're going to have to blitz Mac Jones. And they are going to have to pressure him into getting the ball out quickly. Because you can't give him time in the pocket because bad things will happen. So, again, if they play off, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots will take what the Bills give them. They're a very good situational football team. No one player has to stand out. You don't see a Stephon Diggs on the Patriots. You have Jacoby Myers. But Jacoby Myers will take what the Buffalo Bills will give them. And that's important. Do I think the Buffalo Bills are going to win this game? I think they have a good chance. But again, they have to play flawless football. Again, they have to play situational football against the New England Patriots. Don't load up the gun and try to throw 60 yards down the field. Don't run the ball when it's 3rd and 14. You know, if you have to throw underneath 7 to 10 yard outs and ins and over the middles, do it. There's nothing flashy, nothing sexy about a loss. The Bills can win this game if they play disciplined football. They can't be getting all these penalties, the offsides, the false starts, the illegal man downfield, the holdings. You know just as well as I do, Belichick will have these guys locked and loaded. For them to come into Buffalo late November and the win is huge. And if they beat the Buffalo Bills, it could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I really think the Bills, if they win this game, that will propel them from a confidence standpoint to move forward and to get the job done. That's just my opinion. But again, Josh Allen has to play situational football. And I think that's where the Bills have to swallow their pride and play a very good football game and take what the Patriots will give them. Because Bill Belichick will have these guys locked and loaded, and every deficit that the Buffalo Bills have, make no mistake, Bill Belichick will try to exploit it. You look at some of the other teams around the league, and Green Bay getting a lot of notoriety after their win against the Rams. And the Rams have put up some great games, but then they have lost in really rough fashion of late. And the questions that Sean McVay has to figure out. I mean, Matt Stafford seems like a great fit for this team, and they have offensive and defensive weapons all around. But gelling that together for the Rams is a tough thing, and that's something that Sean McVay's got to figure out sooner than later. As we talked about the Packers, Aaron Rodgers knows he's a good football player. In fact, he knows he's a phenomenal football player. And to say that these guys aren't going to be in the championship conversation or even the Super Bowl conversation would be silly. When healthy, Aaron Jones, Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, you know, and Aaron Rodgers seem just dialed in. And Aaron Rodgers will put passes in areas that nobody can do. He's so chill. And, you know, he expects every catch to be made by every receiver, whether it's his fault or not. This team is always in the game, and late down the stretch, there's no quarterback that I'd rather have than Aaron Rodgers. I think that you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they've lost a few games that have been questionable as well. And Tom Brady, make no mistake about it, is one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game. And Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, I don't know if they have that symbiosis. I don't know if they have that Belichick-Brady combination. Arians certainly finds a way to let Tom Brady know when they made mistakes. But when you see Leonard Fournette pull off four touchdowns last week, and the receiving game didn't have to be spectacular. But again, they've got Evans, they've got Goodwin, they've got Scotty Miller, they've got Rob Gronkowski, they've got Leonard Fournette, they've got Tom Brady. And this is a team defensively that when they get at it, they can be very dangerous. But they have to kind of swallow their pride a little bit too and know that there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen in the NFC, the Rams being one of those teams, the Packers being another one of those teams as well. You look at the Minnesota Vikings, and the Minnesota Vikings are sneaky good. Kirk Cousins, now Dalvin Cook being out. Let's see if they can weather the storm with how the Minnesota Vikings play without him. And Andrew Madison has been a comparable role for Dalvin Cook, but he is no Dalvin Cook. Thielen and Justin Jefferson are awesome. And Kirk Cousins' QB rating has shown that he can get him the ball when needed. So, again, the Packers seem far and away the better team in that division. But wildcard-wise, the Minnesota Vikings could very well be a solid team. Swinging over to the San Francisco 49ers, people are saying that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be part of the 2022 plan. And my question is, why? Now, I understand that they drafted Trey Lance, but Jimmy Garoppolo has done well. In fact, he's done better than well. He's done a pretty great job when healthy. And again, I think that comes to any player in the National Football League. If they're healthy, then good things are going to happen. But Jimmy Garoppolo is a good enough quarterback. He's not a Cam Newton. He's not a fill-in guy. He is a guy that knows this team. And again, they've got multiple weapons as well. And don't count this team out because, again, they are going to be in the conversation. Speaking of other teams in the conversation, the Dallas Cowboys. Is Zeke Elliott done in Dallas? I mean, you really look at this and you have Tony Pollard, who's done really, really well. The receivers, again, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. You look at Dalton Schultz, the tight end, and Dak Prescott. And again, this team has had games that they should have won, and they were upset by the Raiders. And the Raiders are a team that you just don't know what you're going to run up against. And they beat the Dallas Cowboys. The good teams find ways to win, even when there are injuries. And I think that's something that, as I swing back to the Buffalo Bills on the full side, when they didn't have Spencer Brown, a third-round draft pick rookie, they were using that as an excuse why they, you know, couldn't hold the line. And my thing is, if the Buffalo Bills are depending on a third-round draft pick to be the centerpiece of their offensive line, they've got bigger problems than they really realize. And that's something that this team has to rectify. Tom Brady never had that many good receivers in his tenure in the New England Patriots. But he made the players that he had good. He elevated their game with the way that he played. You see Aaron Rodgers do the same thing. You see Patrick Mahomes doing the same thing. And that's something that Josh Allen's going to have to do with his team. And fortunately, he's got Emmanuel Sanders, Dawson Knox, Cole Beasley, and Stephon Diggs. So again, you can't use the excuse. The good teams find a way even when there are injuries. And I think the Dallas Cowboys have to figure that out. Next man up. And it'll be a true test for the Bills as well as we swing back to them with Tre'Davious White being out for the year. How is Dane Jackson going to hold that side? Are they going to swing over Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde to really kind of sleeper that position to make sure that it's covered? There will be a deficiency someplace, but good teams find a way to overlook that deficiency. Again, it is going to be an interesting year nonetheless. I think the Bills and the Dolphins are in a two-way race in the division. The Dolphins are kind of on the outside looking in, but they have started to get some continuity. Tua Tagovailoa, despite my thoughts on how bad of a quarterback he is starting to put together some games. He's starting to get a little bit of a lather built up and hitting the receivers, and everybody's starting to gel. So watch out for that team as well. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals, and again, their run game, their pass game, their defense all seems to be clicking. They slapped the snot out of the Steelers, and the Steelers are a team that's kind of regressing. Big Ben Roethlisberger, if this isn't his last year, he might have part of another year. But again, he is going to be in the conversation that the Steelers have to find a quarterback, and Mason Rudolph is not the guy. That is, this team has got great receivers with Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Claypool. They have a great running game in Najee Harris, and I think that he is just going to flourish to get better and better every year. And they have to really work that, but they could not stand with the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals have known the Steelers to own them over the years. Well, I think the tide has started to change, and this team now has to figure it out. Speaking of injuries and teams, the Tennessee Titans basically had a stranglehold on the AFC. With King Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown out, will Mike Vrabel's team be able to kind of pick up the pieces and make it happen? It looked like a train wreck this week against the New England Patriots. And a game that if all the parts were in there, it would have been a different game. But Mike Vrabel knows when he played with the Patriots and he was with that staff that the next man up and making good players better is what they do. So Vrabel has to figure that out. And I think the fall from grace because of the injuries for the Tennessee Titans is going to hurt. The Kansas City Chiefs had their slump, but seem to have righted their ship. Their run game, their pass game, their defense starting to come around, and Andy Reid is a good enough coach that he is going to make that happen in this league. You see teams like the LA Chargers, and Justin Herbert's a great quarterback, and he's going to be around for a lot of years. Again, the choke Chargers, Austin Eckler, a great player, Keenan Allen, a great player, Mike Williams, a great player, but putting it all together and gelling an offensive and defensive game plan that works has evaded the Chargers on a consistent basis. I don't think this is the year that the Chargers are going to vie up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think the Denver Broncos have enough in their tank to get the job done. Teddy Bridgewater has been a nice stopgap quarterback for this team, and Drew Lock has been a plug-and-play type guy, but their identity has evaded them as well. One thing's for sure, Javonte Williams is having a breakout season, and Melvin Gordon, with injuries that has been expected, is starting to really shine through. This team has had its injuries. It has had its Cortland Suttons being hurt. It has had other players in the lineup in and out, and that has hurt this team. They are in transition. They're going to try to finish off the season strong and hopefully be able to latch on to a wild card spot, but the AFC is wide open and could be the Patriots, could be the Bills, could be the Chiefs, could be the Raiders. Who knows? One thing's for sure, it's good football. And if the injuries, which have been aplenty, can kind of slow down a little bit because we want to see quality players in the playoff front. This is the year that fans are in the stands and they're able to watch some good football. And I think that they have been really treated to that. But seeing players like Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley in and out of the lineup and players like OBJ being moved around and other receivers being injured has really dampened the skill level. Now, again, next man up, you're seeing players have breakout seasons due to these injuries. But again, we'd like to see what these teams could be with the players that they drafted or traded for in their spots. Again, time will tell in the next couple weeks who will rise from the ashes and who will be a better team this year. Again, my prediction for the Buffalo Bills as we close this out is I think the Buffalo Bills will win this one 23-20 against the Patriots. And what I think is that the Bills have to play disciplined football. And if they can stay off the flag sheet and basically play their game and take what the Patriots give them and stop the sacks, there has been a tremendous amount of defensive push from the Patriots. And for Mac Jones, he knows that this defense is going to come for him. So he's going to have to take those little off plays. Mistakes will change this game. But if this game is played with discipline, the Buffalo Bills should win this one 23-20. So all the time I have for now. If you like what you heard, hit that subscribe button. Talk to you soon.